Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world, heavy metal, rock and roll, in Northeast Ohio. My name is Eagle, and this week I am joined not by everyone's favorite Rubber City Redbeard, but instead, everyone's favorite JC Koshevsky from the band Dead Even. Rubber City Redbeard, he'll be back on the next episode. No fears, no worries, guys. Take a deep breath. But JC and I, we had an awesome fucking conversation over the Skype. So if you hear some audio, a few little audio glitches, hiccups, they don't last long. I tried to edit as much of it out or away as I could, but we had an awesome conversation, man. Where JC, this guy has some of the best stories I've ever heard, and we're very lucky to have him share them with this show. Dead Even is returning December 22nd at the Foundry. The return, Dead Even, one of the craziest bands that I've ever seen. We talk about some crazy ass Dead Even shows, especially the one at the Rascal House Pizza, the pizza joint. I finally get to talk with him a little bit about that one. The conversation was awesome. Having JC on was great. I know you're gonna love it. This is Keep It in 99 with JC. Let's just get right into it. If you like what you hear, subscribe, rate, review here on the iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or iHeartRadio. Go like us on Facebook, all that fun stuff. Let's just like I said, let's get into it, man. Here's some JC.
I think our heritage, like our part of the Europe, like really has like Northeast Ohio on lockdown.
Yeah, it seems like it, right?
there's a lot more Polish and German than a little bit. A lot of people are poser Irish, but good handful of Irish too.
So you're in a band called Dead Even. I don't know.
Sorry, it was your delivery was awesome.
We're here with JC from Dead Even. Dead Even is making a return, the return, as it is billed, Friday, December 22nd at the Foundry. It's a pretty sweet lineup. The band Slutbox, who I still say has one of the coolest names of all time, is going to be opening up. I remember seeing Slutbox a lot back in the day, so it's kind of like a big nostalgia kick, right in my heart.
It should be called the Pirates Cove Appreciation Night, because I think once we added Step to this to the show, that did happen in the Pirates Cove a couple times. I want to say, because we would do shows with the Slutbox guys, and then they came Keratoma and stuff, and then we would also do shows with Above Us Fire and Salt the Wound. Like we kind of tried to play both scenes.
Something involving a monkey is opening up. This band, they're fucking insane. Like, if I had to compare them to anything, I would say they're our area's Mr. Bungle.
I mean that's a big reason why I had them. I've always kind of just they're very good at when you're putting together a show to throw them in the middle, and just it's everybody can let their hair down and stop being cool and just start hanging out and having fun. I would say it's like Primus. If Primus had Like if you had it, I don't know, Primus on Xanax, maybe. they're a lot of fun. I've had a lot of and there's something involved in Monkey. It's such a great name. But those guys, the one guy used to be in Family Riot and Happy Rainbow Death, Joe. So I've been seeing him, and he used to, I think, book the shows and do sounds at the pit when the pit was going on. So I've known Joe for years, and through the Schnauzer community, I met him. Hey, fuckface,
number me! Oh, that makes a lot of sense, seeing that there would be some Schnauzer influence going on in there.
Yeah.
And Ford the River is going to be opening up as well?
Yes. A long-time friend of the band and big supporter, being Jake Cork in that band. I've yet to check him out, so I'm excited to have some new stuff and nostalgic stuff on the show. we're going to be doing, it's going to, like, I kind of wish I could have called the show Welcome to Nostalgia, because it's like, you know, which is pretty much everything we consume on Netflix anymore. It's just, how can we remember how cool it was before we had beer bellies and kids and bills and stuff?
Right.
I mean, you can mosh every day and not feel it for a week.
Oh my gosh. I feel, I keep saying that I'm retired from the pit, but like, I feel like I have one good little run in me, like maybe two shows, two bands on one good bill. And then that's it. Then I'm out the game. I'm going to go train kids. I'm going to train my kids how to pit. Be like, this is how we did it back in our day, boys. Plant your feet, plant your feet.
That would be a good PSA thing, is like, dads teaching their kids how to properly mosh.
Yeah.
Like intelligently teaching kids how to do it, like teaching them not how to like push people over and not to like crowd punch, but like, you know, feel the energy of the band together. And you just, I mean, we grew up in such like, an era, like where as teenagers, we weren't afraid to go into mosh pits. Even if it was a crazy, like, you know, like Guar Pantera pit, we'd still go in there and get thrown around and stuff, but we never were, we all walked away. Like,
oh yeah. You know, like,
yeah,
like, you recall the we had a thing called the Cleveland Mosh Team.
Oh yeah, I did the website for a while too.
I had a shirt. I was so excited to, because I live down near Akron, but I would always go up to Cleveland for the shows. And a friend of mine, we went on the website and we like signed up to be members on the list of people on the Cleveland Mosh Team, where you had to like write what your favorite local band was, what your favorite local band song was. And I was just like, it's official. We're official. I would show my friends when they would come over, be like, I'm on the Cleveland Mosh Team. No big deal. No big deal.
Yeah. Do you remember the hotline you would call?
Yes.
And I'd be like, thank you for calling the mosh. It'd be great, because it'd be like a Biosphere at Annabelle's in Akron, $10. Like it would just list off. Like, I mean, it was great because it was, you know, it was like right at the dawn of the internet. So, you know, like you get out of school on a Friday and it's like, hey, what's going on? You know, let's drive 50 minutes to see Odious Sanction play at high school. You know, let's do that.
Yeah. It's like, it's fucking odious. I can't even tell you how many times I would go on certain band kicks, whether it was like NDE or even Crib Kicker.
Yeah, like welcome to the Church of Hate.
Welcome to the Church of Hate. You're living in a world of goats.
Yeah, welcome to the Church of Hate. Yeah. He was like, he had like that James Hetfield, like he would accent things like him a lot.
Yeah, I remember I'm all over their home video where they did a show at the Odeon and they kept showing like pans of the crowd, and I'm right front row with a bowl cut, just completely rocking out with this denim vest that I think I airbrushed Mushroom Head on the back of. And looking back on it now, I'm like, I was awesome. That was fucking awesome.
Was that one of their farewell shows?
Yeah. What,
they had like a long string of farewell shows.
That's smart marketing. I mean, really. Yeah. It's the way to do it.
Hopefully they Bill and Ted just ended at Universal down here, and we were joking that we hope they just bring it back next year, and it was just a big work. They built it as a farewell tour, and it'd be like, it's so much better if they just bring it back next year and just like act like nothing happened.
Well, we left. You know? We left for a while.
The Ric Flair thing. It was what would Ric Flair do?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, Odious was a good one. See, like, you came from Kent, and like, I mean, I've always been a big Hate Theory fan. Like, that is like, you're like a Kent Akron kid, and like the Hate Theory guys always, like, I want to say like my first show singing in a band, I opened up for Hate Theory and Agents of Oblivion, which was Acid Bath.
Oh, wow.
And that was at the Flying Machine in Lorraine. And I think it was a band that I ended up playing with you in when I was in Sadist Factory. Didn't we play with you before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was like, I think that was like maybe our second show. That was like, it was like a World Series of Metal type deal.
And so it's a metal. Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing I got out of it was that you guys, yeah, we had to open together.
Yeah. Together.
We're on the main stage of the Agora, and they split it. You remember they had like a line of tape to split the stages. So while one band's playing, you just see the other band setting up their shit. And then as soon as the one band's done, the other band starts, and then another band sets up. And I don't know why, even though it was like our second show, I was like, I feel like we're getting screwed here. I feel like we deserve a little bit more respect. Where's Mitch? Let's talk to Mitch. But yeah, I remember Hate Theory meeting you guys and Cold Hand of Christ from that night. That was like, those were the biggest highlights of the evening for me.
Yeah, I remember. I just love the name Hate Theory, and then it turned out that they were like really, really. I think they were like kind of might have been ahead of their time, to be honest. Like they might have been, even though they're really popular, they were still like very. I don't know. I thought it was attractive, angry music. Like,
And a lot of people agree. I just saw Hate Theory. They just did they also had a return show, a reunion show up at the Outpost. They sold that bitch out. 500 tickets. Well, them and Dolly Trauma.
I was looking at flights. I legit was looking at flights. Like, I could just go in and fly into Akron, see the show, and fly back like that. I was, like, flirting with the idea for a while. I was like, I'll get to see Hate Theory again. I don't need to. They'll be, like, and they just did the Crowbar show, right?
Yeah. As soon as their show sold out, they're like, oh, if you missed it, we're playing with Crowbar. And I was like, you sneaky bastard. Because it was never really announced whether or not, like, they were returning for good or this is just a one-off stop. So, like, you know, people were kind of like, oh, maybe this is a one-time deal. And this is going to be the only time. And then they're like, no, we're sticking around. We're sticking around.
Good.
Thank God.
I feel the blood give way beneath my foot as I gaze into.
They were great, and like, because isn't the drummer's son? He's in. That other drummer's little brother is in that other band now.
And
right?
Below the Tide, yeah.
I've done t-shirts and stuff with him. But like I met him when he was like a teenager, and then like I met him again through Chris Bianchi, and I totally like we were talking like we knew each other, and I realized like I did know it just was like a you know an 8-year gap in between seeing him or something, and I was like, oh, you used to he would jump up and play one song as a teenager with Hate Theory. Do you remember the Robin Hood shows where they would put a mic in the crowd and just let the crowd sing too?
Oh yeah.
That was so cool. Like everybody just takes turns jumping in. I love those Robin Hood shows, man. I played a couple of them with Dead Even where we were just jumping off of everything.
They give you a lot to jump off of there too.
Yeah, yeah. Because like we had like a short stint like where Stitch from Mushroomhead was our sample guy because it was all the rage to have sample guys back then. And like we got put on Chimera Christmas. So I was like, oh, Chimera's got a sample guy. We need a sample guy. So I had to. Had Stitch do it, and like it was like a good. I mean, we did a good like probably a dozen or more shows with him. But one of them was one of those Robin Hood shows. We were just jumping off. I just miss the Robin Hood. That place was a great place to sin in.
I have some memories I don't remember from the Robin Hood. That's for sure.
Yeah, it would always be like a Dolly Trauma or a Hate Theory or an NDE. Oh, me and my friends would always call him NDE. Because they would play with Runt a lot. Mm-hmm. And Rob Run had to like he had to say that about everything. He'd be like, "I'll take a large basket of fries,"
just angrily about everything. Angrily.
Fuck you, Dick! I'm not short.
Rob Run, he's a listener of the show. We like
this. Yeah, Rob Run. I'm sure he's gonna be like, he's talking about me as I eat my flesh.
I love the way it tastes.
I love the way it tastes. It
tastes real good.
He was on top of the world. He was running like a couple pizza pans for a while and singing in 13 Faces. I remember those days.
Oh,
I
was man.
Like, these are Rob Runt's glory days. They've called Pizza Pan.
I've suggested a few times that Rob needs to just get a group of guys together and go by the name Rob Runt and play 13 Faces and Runt songs.
Yeah.
I think it would be a hit around here. Like, I really do.
Yeah, you could probably, you know. I don't want to make any asshole jokes, so I'm not going to make any. I'm just like, you can probably get second on a Mushroomhead show or something. Like,
sure. Sure. Somebody in that band's got to owe a favor. They got to owe some sort of favor.
Yeah. All right. I love you, Rob Runt, if you're listening. I love you. Yeah. I used to print all the 13 faces. Every single one of the – they would have 13 faces. Because like I played in Integrity with John Capri at the same time as like when he was going through his hate breed phase, which was called 13 Faces. And John Capri would always like crack. Like if John Capri would let his hair down and crack his knuckles, you knew you were in trouble. He had like a high threshold for ball busting. But like if he let his hair down, back the fuck up. Like
it was like shit is on.
Because those guys, they were Akron too. They were originally Spawn. I'm going to take you back to round two, motherfucker. They would also play with Crip Kicker.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, they were perfect for the Crip Kicker. Glad of rage, I don't deserve how you offend me. I look at you and I see myself, just that's why I hate me. When was the last time that Dead Even played a show? Has it been like 7 years now?
Okay, the last time was the Salt the Wounds last show 7 years ago. We may have played a 216 Firestorm Pro Wrestling Thanksgiving show before that. I did a ladder match with Firestorm, then did 216 and Dead Even. And then before that was 2009. We broke up like 2006 and then played like a couple times between 2009 and 10. And then we were done. Because like when we broke up in 2006, we called it a funeral. And then I think the next time was Back from the Dead Even. And I think that's why this time is a return. Is I'm just going to keep on, coming up with new ways of saying it.
So with this being billed as the return, I have to ask, is this just a one-time deal? Or is there going to be more Dead Even shows throughout the future?
I think that's going to come up to be like, that's going to be based on how the show goes. Mm. And, it's not just like turnout, but how we feel, how it feels playing together. Is it going to be hard on us? So I think if there's situations where we're all available, I think at least Rob Walters, Tom Shafter, and myself would be down playing shows. But this is Ben Hollowell, who's playing bass. This is his last show playing bass in a band.
Oh, Benny yeah. the Dread?
Benny, formerly the artist formerly known as Benny the Dread. No, he's Benny the Dad. But for listeners at home listening, Ben, who is the front man of Snatch, the bass player of Ringworm and Years of Fire. He played with Dead Even a lot. I think he did a little bit with Heavyweight the last couple of years. But it just made sense to like come home and play with like the same group of friends that I've been hanging out with since 1999. No pun intended. actually, the pun is intended with it being 99. But yeah, it's the guitar player, Tom Shafner, he played with us for a good amount of, he played probably on and off for about a year and a half. And then he's the guitar player in Ventana now, and he's writing and producing all their last record he wrote. And then he's got another one he's almost finished up with now, like another EP for Ventana. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but who cares? There's going to be a lot of
breaking news.
Yeah, I don't know. They might have said something about that, but I do know that like they're Rick Thomas and Tom Shafter are very, very busy creating for that world.
That's awesome. I always enjoyed seeing Ventana shows, and the motherfuckers in that band, there's always super fucking nice, always super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're all like, and Little Dan, he tours with Marilyn Manson like 7 months a year.
Right.
And, the guy that they added water drums into Mushroom Head for, ended up getting a gig with Marilyn Manson and plays on stage with Manson all the time.
Yeah, how fucking sweet is that?
Yeah, it's awesome. And like, he still lives and hangs out and works with the Mushroom Head guys and and Ventana, he's got something that he's another kid that grew up in the Parma area and I've known since, we knew him since before Slipknot, that's where BC and AD is for us. Like 1999, was it 99 or 98? The dawn of Slipknot.
Ooh, it's like, I think it was like 99. I know it was 99 when Slipknot first came to Cleveland.
Oh, that's have you guys talked about that story on that?
So I'm really interested because we have talked about it, but me, like I was an outsider in the sense of like I was just a kid from Akron who would come up to Cleveland on the weekends to go see shows. I don't know what's going on. I'm getting some sort of pop from your microphone all of a sudden.
Are you?
Yeah.
Pop, pop, pop. Jason Popson.
Yeah, it's J-Man's infiltrating us.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you're not going to do it.
You got to do more of those videos.
You guys ain't doing that anymore.
Yeah.
No, eat, kid.
I was with him like the week that came out. Like he was down here. Like they had like a couple days off in Orlando. Like right when that came out, so that was all I was saying.
Poof. Yeah, what? Kid.
Holy shit, you're J-Man from Mushroomhead 216 Unified Culture. I grew up on your music.
Twist the 4-5 cap to get rap.
I could have stopped fucking with him.
Yeah, kid.
Yeah, kid. Yeah.
I love 10,000 Cadillacs.
Get some bottles. Oh, you mean Saltine? I think his name in that group was Saltine.
Saltine.
Yeah.
He's just J-Man to me, always and forever.
J-Man with two N's. Oh my gosh, I could do J-Man jokes for a while. To be honest, I have no problem saying this on the air because I'll say it like next time I see him. But I've been dying because he's like really like I'm turning gray. We're all gray, but he's really gray. So now in my eyes, he's just gray man.
Gray man. Like,
J-Man is a little longer. Like the clown white has washed from his face, the rain has cleansed him, and now he's just gray man. And when I used to tour with the Integrity a lot, like Dwid would always come up with these like stories of photo shoots he wanted to do with J-Man, where he was always like washing his paint off his face. It was always pictures of Popson looking in the window, like clearly washing his face, and, like some kind of ad for a band.
Oh like, man, it's like some sort of sad clown photo. That would
Dwight would be like, "We're gonna get the J-Man. He's gonna wipe his face off. We'll Photoshop the makeup in the water. It'll be great."
The Slipknot show. I want to go back to that because like I was saying, like I was just an outsider. I was just there to have fun and see some fucking bands. And then I start hearing rumblings that there is now like a war about to happen, and it is Team Mushroomhead versus Team Slipknot. And I've heard Corey Taylor's story of it.
My problem has never been with that band. My problem was with their fans at the time.
I was about to get kicked out of the Nautica because I snuck in a shitload of flyers for my band that hadn't even had a show yet. But we had we had these flyers being like, our band's about to exist, because I believe that if you had a flyer, you were a real band. And so we ended up getting escorted out. But then all of a sudden, over by like kind of like in front of the stage, big old scuffle, and the security guy ran to it, and then we ran back in and threw our flyers to everybody. We like stayed within the show.
Nice.
So I got to witness it all from afar.
I'm happy to be a part of your distraction to promote your band.
Yeah, I haven't got to thank you properly, so thank you so much. I got to finish watching Cold Chamber set.
So that was technically called a Bugs Bunny. Wouldn't that have been a Bugs Bunny?
That's exactly what I did. A Bugs Bunny, that son of a bitch. I was like, see that now.
My last band that I was doing with Youth Forgotten with Jim LaMarca from Chimera and Rob Arlo produced it. Like Jim would always say to me, like, hey man, we're gonna like, and when we're in interviews, you're not supposed to talk about Slipknot. And like I got to meeting Corey and stuff like that. It was a really big bummer. Like when I was old enough to like when it was okay to like Slipknot again, I was like, all right, man, that first record's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it was like Slipknot was Voldemort in the Cleveland music scene. Like if someone wore a Slipknot shirt to a Mushroomhead show, it'd get ripped up.
Yeah.
Because controversy creates cash. Like Eric Bischoff would say, but controversy mixed with ignorance just creates stupidity. So it was like on both sides were kind of weird. But I remember I was one of the people in the scuffle. Yes, I may or may not have filled out a police report at the age of 16 saying that the clown punched me in the face because he punched the shit out of my face.
Oh shit!
Yeah, the clown did. He jumped right off. And but like they open up with Sick, and we were all screaming the Born of Desire lyrics over it because it goes da. We were going, Born of Desire. I mean, everybody was yelling the Born of Desire stuff at it. But, like, they didn't even get to finish the song because there was one kid that, like, because, okay, Mushroom Head Old School crew was the 216 crew. We went to all the Mushroom Head shows. Everybody, it was like a lifestyle for all of us. It was like we all looked out for each other. And now, mind you, like, we were all also part of the Cleveland Mosh team. So, like, there was the 216 crew and the Cleveland Mosh team, you know. Like it's very Sons of Anarchy feeling crews with, you know, we all wore white camo. I was really small and slender. I'm kind of built like a girl. So it was awesome for me to hang out with all these big dudes that would watch my back in the pit. Well, one of the guys brought like these D battery sized copper from his work. Like he cut up like I remember sitting there and watching that dude like just launch one of those at the one guitar player that looks like the Undertaker.
Their fans came down and basically threw everything but rocks at us. You know what I'm saying? They hit Paul in the face with a fucking padlock the size of my fist. This was while we're on stage. So,
but that dude just bit like just hits the ground like bonk, done. You know, all those, you know, endorsed guitarists falling everywhere. It was like the song didn't even finish. I do remember that. And it was, I mean, we were like, when they were like, I think they were, cause Slipknot was so new that they were line checking their own stuff or their road crew was shit talking us so much too. Cause like when they were, we were just lighting them up, like, you know, and I remember there was this kid, that went to Garfield Heights, that he brought in a big flag, I think, that said Slipknot go home. Like they, I don't know if you remember seeing that in the crowd, but there was like a big white sheet that said Slipknot go home.
Man. loyal, you guys.
Now, I'm not going to tell you what member of the band drove that kid there and helped make that, but didn't go in. I can't say that on the air. I think he watched from afar. It all go down, but I remember that Matt Tillman kid bringing it in. He's like, "Yo, dog, I got this flag here," and it literally said Slipknot go home. But they came in there, and oh, mind you, this was the Live in La Vida Loco tour, so everybody's kind of went loco. So all the scuffle happens in that first song, and the clown jumps in and he's hitting me in the face. I was conveniently dressed as J-Man as I could dress because what else would I come to a Slipknot show and at the age of 16. I never went to Mushroom Head shows dressed as J-Man, but I went to Slipknot dressed as J-Man. I think I did a sans makeup, but I definitely was shirt and tie, showed up for work.
Right.
God, he jumped in. The clown was in there with us, and there was him and somebody else. I'm having like a rough time remembering. I need a crystal ball for this. But I didn't even get to the end of Sick, and they're just doing a scuffle. And I want to say they finished the set out, and like we're all like regrouping after their set because like Slipknot played what, second on that show?
Yeah, it was like right before Machine Head and Cold Chamber.
Yeah, Machine Head, who is like forever the main support of all those Roadrunner tours.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've heard Let Freedom Ring with a Shotgun Blast in Nautica at least a dozen times.
Yeah, right? It's like they come out, they play Davidian, and then they leave. They're like, bye, that's our one.
Yeah, that's our one. Yeah, we're still milking it. So we're all like kind of like a crew, like coming together. Everybody's licking our wounds and blah, blah, blah. And out of nowhere, like the Greases and the Socias.
You guys know what Greases are? White trash with long, greasy hair.
You know what a Soch is?
What?
White trash with Mustangs and Madges.
A bunch of windbreakers come out of nowhere. Like, I want to talk about windbreakers and kickwears, like a whole crew of them. Like, and it was Slipknot in their road crew shirt. Like, they had their windbreaker things that said, like, you know, because windbreakers were cool back then, windbreakers and kickwear. But they came out at us. I think they thought that we were actually Mushroomhead.
Mushroomhead, right.
Yeah. No, it was just a very passionate fan base. with a conflicting perspective on intellectual property. That's really what it is. Like,
that, man, you just summed up that entire feud from back in the day perfectly with that. That's exactly 100%.
If I were to do a podcast, I'd like to sit down with some of the Mushroom Head guys and like really, because I do know the truth behind all of that. But I'm not that's not for me to put out there. It's not even a conspiracy theory. I definitely think that because I mean, if anybody out there listens to that old Slipknot record, there's a Slipknot record that's like funky as shit. It's really good, but it's not at all what was Slipknot sold as. It was completely like, it was like, hey, we're gonna take Mushroom Head and give it a Hot Topic makeover, and then, you know, take what you like out of Korn, and like everything was really well put together for the time.
Yeah.
Like, they really nailed everything about what we were wanting as teenagers, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it was the answer, you know, where Mushroom Head was very more like eclectic Mr. Bungle, Faith No More style, mixed with, like, you know, you could totally tell that they were still from the same city as Integrity and Spud Monsters. There was still like that aggression to them, but still there. In my eyes, Mushroom Head was writing songs with metal, like rock and metal mixed in. Slipknot was just writing new metal.
There was never like a Mushroom Head show or anybody that was affiliated with, you know, within like that group of people, whether it was like Schnauzer or Cold Hand or Christ. Like, I saw you everywhere. And I like to think that I went to a lot of shows. Like, that became my weekend thing for like 4 years. Every weekend I was going to shows. But I still feel like it was just a fraction of the amount of shows that you went to. Like, you were somebody that I was just like, he's in the fucking scene. Like, he's helping shape this fucking scene. Seem like a cool dude, but I do think the first thing you ever said to me probably was like, hey, lift me up, I'm gonna crowd surf. And I was just like, oh, that's cool, we're fucking... Because you were the craziest person at those shows. And whether it was like a Schnauzer show, like you'd just be fucking shit up from the stage doing songs with the band, or at a Mushroom Head show, like up on, once again, jumping on stage, jumping off stage, going absolutely nuts. You were everywhere, like five places at a time.
Those old Peabody shows, like the old Peabody shows where they had to have the security guard on stage. I was like a buck 10. That's much I weighed or something if I was lucky. So I just had those guys launch me like in a, like pro wrestling style. Like, it was like, you know, I think I took a couple running power bombs off the stage. I've taken, I mean, and like, I don't, I, thank you for saying all that, because, you know, like I feel like I hung out too long. Like, I, you know, I started in 97 and I didn't move away. I moved away at like 2014, 15. So like I gave so much of my life to the Cleveland music scene and shaping it, like, and like, you know, working at Peabody's, working at the Agora. I mean, I sold out, I did 4 years of Mushroom at Halloween show, and like two of them I did on my own with no partners, and promoting them, and, you know, I printed shirts for every band in Cleveland for at least a decade, you know. I always just, you know, I always figured like this would help my band out if I helped other bands out. And then, like, you know, keeping the fantasy alive, keeping the like rebuilding and rebranding the Blind Lemon into the Foundry, like totally taking that model and changing it into something a lot more comfortable for metalheads to come and hang out at. And not to mention all my Unite Clevelands, Unite CLE, which, you know, I think ironically, and this is Unite Cleveland is kind of what ended everything for me in Cleveland, because I really saw how not united people were. And I grew up in such a united scene. And realistically, the bands only really care about their scenes. Everybody only has the scenes that they hang out in. They don't see Cleveland as a whole. Maybe 2 out of 10 see Cleveland as a whole.
Right.
And it's, that's such a, and it was so heartbreaking. I mean, the first Unite, I went out to Chicago for a week because I couldn't handle the reality of what I experienced.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I just couldn't. If there was a camera on me and we were put together my perspective of what I saw and what I went through, it would have been a sad documentary.
Oh, man. You
know? Yeah. Because, like, it's just, like, you know, it is an ungoverned form of business that you know, people are able to take advantage of. And sometimes it's like you kind of like, no pun intended, but it's really hard to have integrity when you're in that business. I guess that's the best way to put it. So it's like, you know, I love that. Like, that's why I like you guys, keep it at 99, because you're talking about like an era where everything was so attractive to each other.
It really does. And I when I was at the Hate Theory show, it was kind of like a family reunion of sorts, right? And yeah. So many people were telling, you know, some of the cats that were there were like 20, 21. And, you know, I would have friends that are just like, you have no idea what a music scene is. It's like, you think you have a cool yeah. metal scene. It's like, we were family. And there was this yep. just like kinship that you couldn't get anywhere else. Like, for me, going to those shows, going all the way up to Cleveland when I was a teenager, was the people that were nice to me and cool to me. I wasn't going to the parties with the football players or anything. I was like,
same here.
I was like, I'm going to Mushroom Head shows every weekend. And then after like a year of that, then that's when other kids in my school would go like, hey, can I go to one of these shows with you? And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess so. It's like, but it's like, up there is where I met, you know, like-minded individuals, and it just became this big thing. And it's like, Mushroom Head, I mean, they played all the time. All yeah. the time around here. It's like, yeah, it's like, let's go all the way up to Lakewood. Or it's like, oh, are they doing a show in Toledo? We can make a trip.
Yeah, it was because like you were guaranteed a safe environment to let loose and be as unusual as you want. And like, and that was like the sets they were playing back then, they were all different. It wasn't like every time you went to a city was the same set, which, you know, bands have to do nowadays. We would get something originally just for us, for everyone. It was always worth that drive.
Yeah.
You know, like it was, do you remember the Mushroom Head hotline too?
I don't, but they had a hotline.
Yeah. Jeffrey Nothing did it.
Oh, wow. I wish yeah. I would have known. I would have probably been calling that thing up all the time. Getting the Mean Gene report.
Yeah. The Mean Gene report from Jeff Matrix. It'd be like, Mushroom Head's playing Flashes. Wear a mask.
Like, wear a mask.
Like, you know, nowadays it's like you try to walk in with a mask, everybody's like, oh no, don't wear a mask. No, yeah. We need to see your face.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it always felt like Halloween at the Mushroom Head shows, for sure.
Yeah, it was Halloween all the time. And now, mind you, with Dead Even, we got to play a lot of those Mushroom Head shows. I mean, a ton of them, like, you know, because of my, you know, cause I worked for them and stuff. We always played with them. And then I did Garmin Bozio too, which was just like a bad Mushroom Head acid trip. and both of those bands, I got to enjoy that world so much, you know, cause with Dead Even, I'd always say like, all right, we're going to play every metalcore show that comes to town. We're going to play Dillinger Escape, we're going to play Unearth, we're going to play all that stuff. At the same time, we're playing Mushroom Head shows and we're going to play to both scenes. And like, that was my attitude completely. And, I still feel that way. Is like if you have, if you write a band that can play to multiple audiences, play to every audience possible, you know, you be your own genre.
Like, right. Yeah. I think you guys were pretty successful at that too, because the people that I knew from down here, like, you know, anybody, it's like, if you guys were to play a show with, you know, like a Hate Theory, it wouldn't seem out of the usual, right? Like people would be like, that makes sense. And for you guys yeah. to play with Mushroom Head, it's like, oh, that makes sense. And not many bands are able to kind of because they are kind of like different scenes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that would listen to a band like Hate Theory is a little bit darker and a little bit more, you know, just, they're just real, man. They're just up on stage yeah. real. They might not accept the Mushroom Head scene so much. And people in the Mushroom Head scene are probably like, you guys need to fucking do more with the stage show and have more energy and do yeah. this. And so for Dead Even, you guys were one of those bands that it's like you could hit anything, and your peers and the fans of the scene, like, they were always like, fuck yeah, Dead Even. Dead Even's on the – fuck yeah. We'll be right back. It's going to be awesome. Like the Caligo shows, you guys did really well with those guys too, right?
Oh, man. Boy, could they draw.
Boy, could they draw.
Boy, could they draw. Dude, Caligo was like, okay, I was trying to think about that the other day when the Caligo show popped up that they were playing in February. I was trying to think about like the best way to put Caligo. Caligo was like cousins. Like, you know your brother bands? Mm-hmm. Caligo was like awesome cousins that whenever you saw each other at like a family function, it was the most fun. You know, but they were like, you know, but you only saw them a few times a year because there's a distance in between. Caligo was just like, there was so, and like Caligo was dynamic because the kid was drawing on stage to the music, doing samples, two other vocalists. Like there is like in like, they were also coming from the Meshuggah Dillinger side of things. Like they had that influence. Mm-hmm. Where so did Dead Even. Like, you know, that's where I think that Meshuggah and Dillinger kind of really pushed like a new educational style to metal for all of us. Like it was like, hey, this is, you know, that's why I'm happy. Is Caligo just a reunion or is that a return?
I'm not sure. Like as of right now, it's just a return, but I think it's a similar situation to where they're going to see how that goes and yeah, then just kind of go from there. And I keep telling them cats, I'm like, you guys are going to, it's in your hometown. You guys are in Kent.
That's what Kill Franklin. It's a solid show. And if anybody would like to see Dead Even on that show, then please come out to the Foundry on December 22nd.
Yes.
And show your support, show your love. If that goes good, I'd like to you know, I really would like to play with the Caligos, the Hate Theories, come up, play some Ventana shows. And, you know, cause we've actually like, it's a lot easier to record records these days. Like with, whoa.
Sorry, my ringtone was Sami Zayn. I was
about to say, I thought I was going to get run in. I don't know where like Sami Zayn was going to come out. Lay me out. You know, El Generico just taking me out.
He's a heel now. He's a heel now.
He's such a good heel.
The best.
He's such a good heel. Yeah. He should have always been a heel. You know, especially with like, you know, him and Ruby Riott's theme songs and approach being so similar, making them both heels right now is way better because – in like if it was a social gathering and these weren't wrestlers, Sami Zayn and Ruby Riott would be the outcasts in the room.
Oh,
so like I'm liking seeing that right now.
Well, they're both on SmackDown. I'm now fully expecting to see them paired up in some way. Somehow.
It'll be down the line. You'll see it just because it's so similar. But yeah, just in case we could talk about wrestling forever. So with that, even like we actually were like, hey. It wouldn't be actually hard to re-record some of these songs because like the first EP was done at Filthy Hands, and it was like right when Mushroom had started learning how to produce the music out of their own studio. There's a lot of things that like we got, like, I mean, it's been, that record came out in 2003. We kind of like, and we did another EP called How to Start a Riot. And there's like three or four songs that were just demo songs that went on MySpace that we'd like to. So there is a possibility that like we might start chipping away at re-recording songs so everybody can have a professional, crisp version of the songs. At the same time, me and Tom Schaffner have actually talked about, you know, we have some ideas that might be really cool for Dead Even songs. I just don't want to put all of our eggs in that basket to go up to Cleveland and play a handful of shows. You have to make the decision. Are you going to be a nostalgic act and, you know, like a Spud Monster? Like they released another record and nobody really cared. They still want to just hear like, you know, are you going to be a nostalgic act? Or are you going to do something progressive? And it's like, you know, there's a lot more of a commitment when you're like, hey, I'm going to release new music. I'm going to try to tour this again and push it again. And it's a lot of pressure in your 30s. That's like, you understand the risk and the gamble in it, you know, cause I'm down here, doing a lot with the pro wrestling, I'm back doing a lot of pro wrestling, and you know, I want to still be a musician and release music, but I think with what I'm helping produce and create right now, the music is going to be a big part of it, and that's what's going to make it original. But I think I need to stay focused on the wrestling side of things.
Yeah, and for any listener that might not know, JC, you were a part, you're the man behind that. We had a promotion called Firestorm Pro, and you were, yep, probably a part of every Cleveland wrestling promotion there for a while. I know you were in AIW.
I was the I'm the founder of AIW.
Cool.
I know that'll make them all cringe, but I'm the one that started AIW. I'm the one that named Absolute Intense Wrestling. I'm the one that did the logo. If you go back and look at the logo, it is just the Runt logo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it is just it's like I think there was like the A and the W are a Mushroom Head font that we were using on their shirts. Like I built AIW to sell to the Mushroom Head fans. I had every intention of putting white camo aprons on it and stuff like that. I wanted it to be a Cleveland Fed for Clevelanders, and that we would have super indies come in and wrestle for us, you know, the Colt Cabanas and the Jimmy Jacobs of the world. But, you know, it was homegrown. So when I left AIW and started Firestorm Pro, we kept that going. I mean, I had one wrestler named The Aftermath that he would come out to Before I Die by Mushroom Head. Waylon wrestled for us, at least, you know, he did two referee spots, and Waylon actually wrestled for us once.
What?
You know, yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh man, I'm a wrestle for you guys. It's gonna be awesome. You guys are great.
Hey, JC, I think I can go. Give me like a tag team. We'll get 10 minutes down the clock. With 10 minutes on the clock, and I can go. I can go. I've been running around the block. I've been getting my conditioning in. So if we're gonna mess with Waylon, that we bring it up. Okay, if anybody wants to go online, look up The Miz talks about Waylon from Mushroom Head. I got really drunk with The Miz one night on West 6 and should not have mentioned that I worked for Mushroom Head. And The Miz is like, I went and saw them recently, and where the fuck was J-Man? Like, Miz was so like, if anybody didn't know this, Miz is a gigantic Mushroom Head fan. Yes, and if he was gonna vote, it is J-Man all the way for The Miz. So I decided to film a promo, because what else would I do as a aspiring hammered promoter? As you film a promo, well, I was the big unprofessional part of myself is I was still an admin on the Mushroom Head Facebook. I just uploaded it to the Mushroom Head Facebook. Why the fuck not? Because why the fuck not?
Back in 2000, to Cleveland, back when I was in high school, back when J-Man was the lead singer.
J-Man!
Now!
I think that was when everybody who was admins got their admin taken away.
They're like, no more of this.
Like one or two of them, like, we all got it taken away. But I was an admin on there, and I definitely, like, it was a Mushroom Head post of Waylon getting shit on by The Miz. And the cool thing about the promo is that The Miz went to a Mushroom Head show for Christmas as WWE champion, sat in the at Peabody's, like, hey, I'm The Miz, I'm champion, look at me, as WWE champion. And then my champion, John McChesney, was on stage with Mushroom Head holding the belt he won. it was either the Firestorm title or the IWC Pittsburgh title, but John McChesney was definitely on the stage. Out-mizzing The Miz, and The Miz, I sat in the light booth from Peabody's and watched The Miz lose his shit at the bar. So yeah, that's how I got the great promo, because that's what I brought to Miz. I was like, hey man, what was up with that? And then The Miz cuts the best promo. So the next day, it gets taken down on the Facebook. At that point, people have already downloaded it and stuff. But I got in trouble. I definitely got in trouble. Like, I got shamed. It was like, shame, shame, shame. But the best part, and this is the one that Waylon's going to probably get mad for telling the story. Waylon calls me about noon the next day. He's like, JC, why would you do this to me? I've been trying so hard to get out of that shadow of J-Man. And you would go do that. Why would you do that with the Mias? The Mias. You'd have the Mias talk to me like that. Why would you do that? And in the middle of it, his wife calls on the house phone. And I hear, ring, ring, ring. Hold on, my phone's ringing. Answers the phone. He's like, yeah, I'm on the other line with JC right now. He says he's sorry. He says he's sorry. He was drunk. He didn't know. He didn't mean to. He says he's sorry. And JC, you really have to make this up to me. So I actually filmed a promo of Waylon accepting Miz as a challenge. And we tried to keep it going for a little bit. But I think I don't think Firestorm lasted that much longer. I think that was just like I think that actually, because like in my eyes, especially if you're a band in the underground scene, any kind of publicity is good publicity as long as you know how to handle it. So I thought that a WWE top star talking about Mushroom Head, regardless of his opinion, it showed passion, because that's what's important, and especially for a band like Mushroom Head, is the Clevelanders believe in them. And that's what that was saying, regardless of who the singer is, regardless who is under those masks. The music and the message and the symbology of that band has been transcending generations, and it's going to continue to do that. And I don't think Waylon was I don't think he really got that. You know, he might now. I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a while. You know, so he might he's out confessing kills and
yeah,
you know, yeah. So
he's like, I did it.
You know, Miz and me made up. Yeah, so that's the Miz Waylon story. So. You guys want to talk about some Chimera?
Chimera's they are also returning.
Yeah, the future is now.
What's up with that?
It's really weird, because the Youth Forgotten record was just dead even being okay. Like Chimera, like Rob Arnold and Jim left Chimera, and then Jim and I were doing a band called Killing It, and then Rob wanted to open a studio, so it was like one of those things where like I don't know where Rob Arnold's helping us finish, write, and produce it. So it turned into like dead even, and Rob and Jim from Chimera, it turned into like a really, really well produced studio record. Translating that when it came to actually performing it live and stuff and putting it out and all the drama and politics that came in, it didn't make it that far. But the record itself, if everybody's listening, go, like, I think I got it on YouTube's and the SoundCloud, but if you look up Youth Forgotten, Ghost of a Fallen Empire, it's pretty much like my suicide note to Cleveland music. I talk a lot about what I was dealing with over the years. There's a lot of honesty, there's a lot of darkness in that record. Now that I'm a few years, I'm, you know, 4 or 5 years removed and not living up there, I see now the opportunity that the Chimera guys gave me and to tell the story and produce it in such a beautiful fashion. But I was a part of that world right post Chimera, and it wasn't very positive towards any reconciling. Like, they weren't going to reconcile at all. And, you know, I there was a lot of me trying to talk to both sides too and try to work towards something, but it was just such a weird time. And I think that all those guys, because like the reason Dead Even broke up, and this will then go to Chimera, is because I started Dead Even right out of high school. Like, it was like I was in I was in a band called Obstacle Corpse, and then Dead Even and Integrity happened at the same time for me, and I never knew life as an adult without Dead Even. And at that point, like I was AIW was very, very busy, and Garmin Bozzi was busy, and I wanted, that's why Dead Even called it quits. I wanted to know what else is out there other than being weekend warriors and trying to get on these tours and, you know, grabbing at brass rings that aren't there. And I think that's what happened with Chimera, is that like those guys, they were like, Mushroom is the biggest band in Cleveland to come out of Cleveland, but Chimera worldwide was one of the, probably the biggest, I mean, other than Black Keys, I mean, out of the Northeast Ohio area, Chimera killed it worldwide. And I don't think those guys knew a lot of what life was going to be without it. And I think that them all getting to go their separate ways for a while humbled up their perspective. And I'm really looking, I can't stay up there for the show. I'm looking forward to watching it on YouTube.
Oh yeah. It's going to be there.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be there, you know, like
when that show got announced, people that I didn't even know liked metal, and let alone, you know, like Cleveland metal, were geeking the fuck out. Like, I got to get tickets to this show. I got to go see Chimera.
I saw those guys play the Battle of the Bands, Peabody's. I saw them on a Sunday afternoon.
Dan Cole booked them?
Yeah.
Dan
Cole booked them once on the patio of Peabody's when Peabody's in the downtown closed, and we were throwing chairs everywhere and shit. Like, yeah. I got to see Chimera. Chimera is like, they were a rock and roll city band, you know, from the Rock and Roll City Studios, the practice space. Mm. They were like, you know, like they, like in Chimera on Farm Club, they went from like being a local band playing local shows to gigantic within a year and a half.
Okay, man. Like,
yeah.
That's how I always envisioned it happening, was like they played some shows and then just bam, like something hit. That always blew my mind, though, because I was never part of the Camaro world. So, like, I was just...
Well, for people listening that aren't from Cleveland, if anybody's listening that aren't from Cleveland, Mushroom is from North Royalton and Camaro is from Strongsville. They are legit two suburbs right next to each other. Like, those two worlds are that connected and that close, but not connected at the same time. Like, I grew up in North Royalton right on the border of Strongsville. And, like, all those, everybody is from the same suburbs of Cleveland, like the same, like right next to each other.
You know my favorite Dan Call booking ever?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, hey, I'm going to get you next time. Trust me. Like, Dan Call booked us in the Rascal House.
Because we played the Rascal House. Did they make you play it too?
We played the same show.
Okay, we did.
So my band Crush Groove, we played early on, and I was ecstatic about it. If most people would shun the idea of having to play in a pizza joint that's not set up for bands at all, but I knew that we were playing with Dead Even.
Oh, thanks.
And so I was like, holy shit, we just got to go in and play for like 20, 25 minutes, and then we get to see what Dead Even does in a pizza joint. And you were one of my favorite shows of this day. My wife brings it up consistent. Like, you know, anytime I mention your name, she'll just be like, "Oh, the Rascal House. He was standing on the booths. And they were like, you guys. I wish I would have got video of that, because that would have made for a great music video."
I want to say the sound guy picked me up off of one of the speakers and put me back on the ground at one point.
Yeah. You can see the workers. You can see the people working, just like, what the fuck? And they're looking at the customers. Like, one guy walked in during your guys' set, and he just gave this scared as fuck look and just walked right out. And I was like, this is so amazing. This is like, all I ever wanted.
That year, we played like it was like Integrity and At Wit's End and somebody else. We played like a Wednesday or Thursday. But it was like a pre-show to the music festival, because mm-hmm. Dan Call's going to he's gonna pre-come anytime he can, and so we end up playing then the Saturday night and getting that Rascal House gig, and I remember being so bummed out. I looked at those dudes and, like, I was like, all right, we're gonna do what we got to do. And it was like, you know, I'm really happy that Dillinger Escape Plan happened to kind of like give us, like, you know, let's fucking jump on everything and break shit and do flips. I really, really hope that the show in 20 seconds could be like that, but I doubt it, because I don't think I can get yoga in that week.
Oh,
it's a stretch. No, I'm just, everybody's going to be pulling muscles. Yeah. December 22nd, Dead Even's going to make you pull some muscles, kid. Like,
get your DDP yoga fix in beforehand. Downward dog. Dynamic resistance.
Yeah, I think the only guy that can get on stage and is Don Foos and not ever, like, get sore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's half like an Indian god at the same time, or Krishna god. Like, he's just floating through things. But yeah, I that Rascal House one, that's a good one. Tell your wife thank you for remembering that. I really wish there was a video of that.
That it would have been great. I saw Dan Call that night, and I thanked him for that opportunity. I was like, thanks for that. And he was like, you know, looking at me like I was being sarcastic. I was like, no, sincerely, this is the best show you've ever booked for us. That was the best. Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap it up here. Once again, check out Dead Even up at the Foundry December 22nd. Something involving a monkey, Slut Box, Ford the River, tons of surprises, I'm sure. It's gonna be a rager.
Everybody stretch and let's mosh it out pretty hard. And you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how much people still care about honor and vengeance being the only words to live by. Like, I'm really, you know, looking forward to that, because like that pile up always usually broke me in half. So I'm really looking forward to everybody breaking out of retirement. So, and thank you for this opportunity. I really like what you guys do, and I, you know, keeping it 99 is I think very important, because it's fun and educational.
Well, thank you so thank you so much, and it was an honor and a pleasure to have you on, man. Like, see, I've been looking forward to this all week, so thank you for coming on, and best of luck with everything with From the Mouse to Dead Even, and I hope you guys do come back and play some more shows. And Caligo, you guys are doing a show. Dead Even, hit JC up.
Yeah, we'll definitely, we'll see what happens. Definitely. Talk to you guys later.
Find new episodes and archives at LousyWeatherMedia.com.